Tehát következő előadónk, Bácskai Károly, az Evangélikus Tudományi Egyetemről, Budapestről, a Új Testament görög nyelvének és egyetikai kérdéseinek kutatója, illetve az Új Testament görög nyelvének oktatásának lehetőségei és korlátai a kutatási területe. Az előadásának címe Egymás terhét, vagy egymást teherként kérdések és válaszok Galata levél egy bizonyos szöveg helye alapján. Our next lecturer, Károly Bácskai, Lutheran Theological University Budapest, researcher of Greek language of the New Testament, exegetical questions in the New Testament, and possibilities and limits of teaching methods of the language of New Testament. The title of his lecture, Carry Each Other's Burdens, or Carry Each Other as a Burden, Questions and Answers based on the Galatian letter. Please give your presentation.
Thanks very much. Dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, it's a pleasure for me to be here and having the chance to hold this lecture this afternoon. I'm going to say it in a simple way, so I don't want to make it complicated. Not everybody understands English, perhaps, or there are some German-speaking friends here with us. So I'd like to keep it simple, but after this lecture, if you have questions, I'm ready to answer these questions. So it is okay. I didn't want to make it complicated. The title is as here on the board, Carry Each Other's Burden or Carry Each Other as a Burden, Galatians chapter 6 and a few verses, questions and answers on the collective and individual responsibility of Christians. And I'm going to demonstrate a few slides as well so you can follow what I'm saying. First, some words on the background of Galatians, the letter. In Galatians, Paul raises his voice against a group of believers that is disquieting the young Christian communities in Galatia at the time, who could have been these troublemakers. There are three main theories that concern to them. They were Jewish Christians who believed that Gentile converts must have kept the Jewish religious law. They were immoral, libertine spiritualists, maybe Gnostics, who favored ethnical and moral libertinage. There were two groups, either a mixture of the above, that were causing trouble among Christians in Galatia, Judaizers and libertines. Most probably, the deceptive agitators were Christians with a sound Jewish background who have infiltrated into the Galatian churches from outside. Their intention might have been to implement the gospel Paul represented and preached to the believers. In their opinion, the religious identity of the people of God had to have been based on and developed by Jewish rites and practices. Which might have been these rites and practices that, in Paul's words, were throwing the Galatians into confusion by perverting the gospel, that is, by preaching to them a gospel other than what they accepted. One perversion of the gospel was the intention that the Galatians should be circumcised. A further one was that the Galatians had been supposed to observe the law and had been trying to be justified by law. The basic purpose of Galatians was to subdue the activity of the above-mentioned false teachers and troublemakers in the Galatian congregations. Paul wanted that the truth of the gospel might remain with the local Christians. Why should anybody force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? Those couple of verses that our present study is based upon make a part of a final exhortation and instruction by Paul to the Galatians at the end of his letter. This final section, however, is part of a larger rhetorical unit, which starts at chapter 5, verse 1, and lasts until chapter 6, verse 10. Now, the responsibility of the Christians. Taking a closer look at chapter 6, verses 1 to 10, we read about some practical instructions to the churches. The question was how Christians could live by the Spirit. If one of the members of the congregation was caught in a sin, most probably in a legal violation, those who lived by the Spirit were supposed to restore him gently. In Paul's warning, everyone in the Christian community is subject to temptation. Since all believers experience difficulties, they ought to bear one another's burdens or one another as a burden. The Greek wording that Paul uses here, allelontabare, makes either translation possible with a slight stress on the opening pronoun. The translation depends on whether we take the genitive form as an objective or as a subjective genitive. Furthermore, baros means not only a burden in a physical sense, but baros may be a burden also in the moral sense of the word. Carrying each other as a burden is rather a moral issue, with practical consequences, of course, than a physical or a material one. This kind of concern for one another fulfills the law of Christ, that is, the law of love. It may as well be astonishing, but love has nothing to do with either religious or legal requirements. So on the one hand, Christians are under obligation to others. In other words, they are responsible to at least one another. Although, on the other hand, they are also responsible for themselves. They should not be conceited, provoking, and envying each other, assuming that they are something when they are nothing. Each one should test his own actions to check whether there is any ground for boasting. In other words, each one should carry his own load. The word fortion that is used here can also mean cargo or weight. In chapter 6, verse 7, Paul quotes a familiar proverb: a man reaps what he sows. This saying can be found either in ancient Greek and Hebrew Aramaic writings, although Paul gives it meaning in the context of its larger argument. See the basic purpose of Galatians. Which are the basic elements of Paul's reasoning? To sow to please one's sinful nature means to make the acts of this same sinful nature. To reap destruction means getting the wages of sin, which is death. To sow to please the Spirit means to produce the fruit of the Spirit. To reap eternal life means the certainty of the legacy of the kingdom of God. In William Byrd's own words, of whose work on this very passage formed the basis of this present study, which was published in Harper's Bible Commentary, in San Francisco in 1985 is as follows. This cause and effect relationship should encourage people not to grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time the outcome will be realized. In the time that remains, Christians should be good to all people. See Romans chapter 12, verse 18. But especially to the household of faith, the members of the church. And these are the final sentences that closes my lecture, my brief lecture, which is, as I said, was very simple, but perhaps enough for a good exchange of ideas and a conversation later on. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you for your presentation.